Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, March 9th of 2022. And I am your host, as usual, the Miracle Man, coming to you from the studio here in Midland, Michigan. And we're glad to have you with us, wherever you may be, however you may be tuning in, however you found out about us. I'm just so glad that you're here. As I like to say, whoever, wherever, however, you know, just so glad that you've made that determination that you would tune in, as I said, wherever you are tuning in from, how you found out, whatever you're doing. It's just a great thing that you've decided to tune in, and it's a blessing when you tune in. It really is. And so anyhow, so what was I gonna say? I was just gonna say, in case this is your first show that you may have tuned in since February. I'm back. Yeah, I didn't just go away for a long time or whatever, no. I went to Florida, and then we had a little technical difficulty, and then we had the conference. By technical difficulty, I'm referring to the one day that I would have done a show in between there. But we're back on. We were on, you know, yesterday as well as Monday, and we're on tonight too, as we would, just like we would normally be. Now, I do want to remind you, on Saturday night at 2 a.m., you'll want to change your clocks ahead an hour before you go to bed. Otherwise, you'll be an hour late. And I can just hear some of you being like, oh, boo. Boo is right. That's how I feel too. I don't like this time change either. The one I like is the fall back, because then you get an extra hour of sleep. Oh, but we got to look at the bright side. The bright side is, to this madness, is that at night, you get an extra hour of sunlight now, starting with Sunday. So that's a bonus. So depends on how you look at it. Of course, if we didn't do it this way, and we just stayed on standard time all the time, including in the summer, like, for example, around June 20th, June 21st, June 22nd, like in there where you have the summer solstice, without the daylight savings, you could have the sun rising, like, instead of, like, 5:57, 5:58 or whatever, it would be 4:57, 4:58, which is still during the middle of the night. So That would be pretty ridiculous. Where the other way, in winter, if we stayed at daylight saving instead of standard time, we could have the sun rising at a little after 9 instead of a little after 8. But then you'd have, on those days where the sun sets at like 5:01, it'd be like 6:01 per se. So the way I look at it, there's advantages and there's disadvantages to all of it. It's like so many other things. Because there's only certain things that are nothing but disadvantages. And then on the other side, that have nothing but advantages. But this is one of those that it kind of goes both ways. There's the benefit to it and there's the drawback to it. So, that being said, now just because your phone automatically goes ahead for you doesn't mean everything else does. Some of those clocks that might even be digital or might not be digital, you'll have to move them ahead an hour. So, and I know people talk bad a lot of times about that spring ahead thing. I kind of did that at first too tonight, right here on this program. Mentioned what I didn't like about it, and that is that hour of sleepiness. But at the same time, I also mentioned, you know, what the good side of it is, and that is that you get an extra hour somewhere at night that you had been getting in the morning. But now you get it at night. Because like right now, per se, instead of getting dark at close to 7, like 6:30, 6:45, instead it'll be closer to 8. So, of course, you can take that for a grain of salt, as I say. All right. I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles 28, because we're in the third month, and I want to talk to you about the heaps. But first, there's something in 2 Chronicles 28 that I want you to see that is related to that and kind of goes into it. So you can see where it makes sense. Let me just find it first. Looking for it. I will mention that in Israel, the church had been shut down, but then it was reopened, but to worship of other gods. Not good. Because the Lord, the God of your fathers, the land of Judah, gave them into your hands. They have slaughtered them. To those who are arriving from the war, you must not bring their stuff here, they said, or we will. This is the Lord. Do not intend to add our own. Let your guilt is already great, Israel. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it. What it was they had been, the church had been locked down, but then when it was reopened, it was reopened for people to come and worship other gods. And even when people were allowed to come and worship again, a couple of the tribes did not want to come back. You see, we still have people in the Church of America, in the churches in America, who for whatever reason, have not yet come back to worship. You have some churches that were have been reopened, but they were reopened for, you guessed it, vaccines. Some of them have mandated. What? Yep. So shut the door. So it says here. Oh, so let's look at verse 34. Oh, my headphones. I got this now. Let's looking at verse 21 so this can make some sense. So Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Lord and from the royal place and from the princes and presented them to the king of Assyria. But they did not help him. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus who had defeated him. For he thought, since the gods of the kings of Aram or Aram, whatever you want to call it. Since the gods of the kings of Aram have helped them, I will sacrifice them so that they will help me. But they were his downfall and the downfall of all Israel. Ahaz gathered together the furnishings from the temple of God and took them away. He shut the doors of the Lord's temple and set up altars at every street corner in Jerusalem. Oh, see what that was? He locked down the church. He locked down the church. Folks, this is what happened in so many places around the world in 2020 when you had the start of COVID, plandemic, mandemic. Whatever you want to call it. But he shut it down and put altars up, altars on the street corners. And they want altars under our God, Jerusalem. In every town in Judea, he built high places to burn sacrifices to other gods and provoked the Lord, the God of his fathers, to anger. the other events of his reign. But then you see what happens is Hezekiah purifies the temple, and then he reopens it. Let's go forward to chapter 31 now, please. Thank you, Lord. To give thanks unto the that praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. Verse 3, the king comes his own possessions and burnt offerings on the Sabbath. New moons. What a few. Devoted themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the older went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount. They tithed of everything. The men of Israel and Judah, who lived in the towns of Judah, also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and the tithes of the holy things dedicated to the Lord, their God, and laid them by heaps. They laid them by heaps. They began doing this in the third month and did not end until the seventh month, when Hezekiah and his officials came and talked concerning the heaps. They praised the Lord and blessed his people Israel. And Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the family of Zadok, answered, since the people began to bring their contributions to the temple of the Lord, we have had enough to eat. And, watch this, plenty to spare, because the Lord has blessed his people and this great amount is left over. You see, so folks, what heaps are is the blessing of the Lord on your life as a result of you obeying him, you sowing, you giving, you and you have to confess it over your life, see? Because, you see, we have just entered the season of the heaps, round two of the heaps, mind you. March, April, May, June, July, 5 months of heaps. Oh! And by the way, this heaps thing, it's not just regular, you know. No, it's so much that it's piled up. No, it might not be necessarily that there's all these boxes and boxes and boxes at your door, per se, but these heaps can come in forms. Healing, deliverance, for people. Oh, blessing after blessing after blessing. Oh, they can come in, you know, miracles. morning blessings, afternoon blessings, evening blessings, midnight blessings. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's just, right, because you see, you see, Miracle Man, well, why did you read the verses in 2 Chronicles 28? It was a comparison to what we had went through in the last couple of years, how you had the unseen thing that shut down the planet, including the churches. Oh, mind you, in certain countries and places like Africa, you had witch doctors. Now, they were still going. They were still doing their thing. And others. But not the church. I mean, you had some churches who decided to stay open regardless, but not as many as what should have. And in Florida, you know, one of my, you have Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who I mention a lot, he had gotten arrested for opening his church. And the sheriff basically had his friend arrested. Figure that out. But that Ron DeSantis of Florida, a couple days later, declared that church was in fact essential. And I love their governor there. He's just, I love how he just makes a stand. He's for freedom. He's for keep staying open. He's for all that. Mm-hmm. And so that was the about the heaps, the laying of the foundation of the heaps. Now you see, last year, who knows what it'll be this year? We'll have to see. In March to July was the laying of the foundation. August to December was the acceleration. Oh, and think about this, folks. 2022 is the year of the double. So that means double heaps, double blessing, double. Whatever you saw God do last year, oh, man. Going to be greater. Not double trouble. Not double worry. Not double mosques. You can always go back to those heaps. Heaps of toilet rolls, toilet paper, depending on what country you're in. That's why I said it that way. Heaps of mosques. Heaps of worry. When I have heaps of, you know what God wants you to have. Amen. And so, what I'm using this to say, I want to encourage you real quick about, you can sow into the program, the Miracle Man. Go online to PayPal.com, and in the search bar, type in Upfront Entertainment. No, in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, keep in mind, please, that La First, R and Rivers, and then the S and Shukla are both capitalized. I want you to please keep that in mind, please, so that you understand how it works and just, so that everything goes the way. And when you sow your seed in the program, just keep in mind, please, that when you sow your seed, this is fertile ground. It really is fertile ground. I'm not just saying that. And so I pray over your seed whenever you sow it, because I want to see you prosper. I really do. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The other thing I want to mention to you real quick is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great, gracious God has been, all the different things that I've been healed from. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com. Again, that is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com, to find out more information about the book and how it can be a blessing into your life. And can be of help for you. And so it's a great thing. And why not bless someone else with the book too while you're at it? And so and now I'm going to sing a couple of songs. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tune. Till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness, into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, what a day, what a way, 'cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. I was an orphan Now you've called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Because when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Like you,
You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and we lift your holy name. For you are great. They do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. 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 Thank you. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The end of the age is upon us. Soon we'll hear the midnight cry. We'll be singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, when he splits the eastern sky. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Leaving, stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The end of the age is upon us. Soon we'll hear the midnight cry. We'll be singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, when he splits the eastern sky. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. You are the Lord. You are the God. You are our King. Thank you, Lord God. You are marvelous. You are so wonderful. Your love for us is so wonderful. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are for us, who you are to us, for what you're doing right now in our lives. Thank you, Master, for just making a way for us. When it seems that there is no way, you have the way. Thank you for that, Master. Thank you, Master, for that. That you calm the storm. You don't cause the storm, you calm it. Thank you, Lord God, that as we're going through life, you're making a way for us. When it seems that there is no way, you're making a way. Thank you for that. Thank you that we walk by faith and not by sight, not by fear. Thank you, Master, for that. For have no need to live in fear. We don't need to live in fear. We have you. And I just thank you, Master, for what you are for us, what you are to us, who you are to us. Thank you, Master, for you, that you are just helping, leading us. No matter what. Heavenly Father. Now, thank you for this time and your word tonight. That as we study your word, that your word just quickens us. As we study it, these people are ready to receive. and not just to hear the word, but to do it, to do your word, do it as you've told them to. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the lives of these people. And now, Lord God, I thank you that you're meeting every need represented in these listeners, whatever it is. You know what they need, even when I don't. You do know. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. All right, going to take a real quick station ID, and we'll be right back, and we'll get into the word of the Lord. And that, praise God. Let's go to John 4. Amen. John 4. And I want to begin with verse 39. And I'm going to begin reading now. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him, meaning they believed in Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. Quote, he told me everything that I ever did. One of the Samaritans came to him. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Verse 43. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal There was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time that his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Let's look at chapter 5 now. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast with the Jews. Now there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, in which Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, or lay, you could say, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man, to judge because he is the Son of Man. The man who had been healed. It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Uh-oh, Pharisees, Pharisees. Pharisee alert, couldn't see, Sadducees, wouldn't see, were there. Verse 11. I added that last part in there, that big uh-oh warning. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fella who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple, and he said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went ahead and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I am also working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, by your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. The time is coming. Oh, and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in him, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will raise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me. Verse 31. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid, referring to the Father. You have sent to John, and he has testified by the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier or heavier, you could say, richer than that of John. For the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. For the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor have you seen his form, nor does his work dwell in you. For you do not believe the one who he sent. You diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men. I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do you think that I will accuse you before the Father? Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Jesus was, so what we read about first, you see, was Jesus was finishing up at the well, and then people believed, you know. More and more of the Samaritans started to believe. And then they started to believe. Now, then Jesus goes, back to where he had been previously, and he healed this man's son. This son got healed from, of all things, he got healed from a disease at which he would have died. He would have died. The father comes and says, you know, the son is close to death. He's close to death. He's about to die. And then Jesus just, you know, prayed a word over the father. And then he's like, he says, your son will live. One of the servants who's at home with the boy. Then the next day, that man asks the servant, when was the boy healed? And he said, well, the fever left yesterday at about the 7th hour, 1 o'clock, in the 1 o'clock hour. That was the time where Jesus had said, your son will live. I know some humans are like, ooh, ooh. God did that healing. God, Jesus said, your boy will live. The boy was healed miraculously of that fever. It must have been real high. Otherwise, how far would it be about to die of a fever? Must have been like 105 plus, real high. But God healed him. People believed. Now, in chapter 5, at the start of chapter 5, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to the sheep gate, where there's a pool, where people who are disabled had these certain infirmities, blindness, paralyzed, and other different, you know, things that, you know, they were sitting there. These people would just sit there and lay. These people sit there and lay. And then they, when Jesus tells them, you know, there's this man there who had been an invalid, you know, he had been very, very, very sick for 38 years. 38 years. 38 years, that's a long time. Jesus finds out, wow, he's been like this for 38 years. Because I'm sure Jesus asked questions, you know, like he should have, you know, wanting to know, you know. I don't want to say he necessarily said what's wrong with him, but more like, what's his, you know, what can I do? And so, and he's, and then Jesus asks him, he says, well, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And then the man says, well, I don't have anyone helping me get in the water, into the pool when the water is stirred up. And when I do try to get in, someone else is getting in front of me. They kept getting in front of me, in front of him. And so he is all like, so he is all like, telling him he's just all telling them, you know, to you know to the, and then Jesus tells him, get up and take your mat. Oh, but there's Jews and Pharisees that are there, and they confront the man who had just gotten healed, and then they're saying, hey, the law forbids you to carry your mat. He forbids you to carry your mat. And that, at that point, they don't. At that point, the man doesn't know where, that it was Jesus that did the healing. He didn't know it was Jesus, but he's like, well, the man who made me well told me to carry my mat. And, of course, the Jews and the Pharisees that are there, of course they had to have a problem with it, of course, because all throughout the New Testament when Jesus goes and do miracles, so often there's Pharisees there and couldn't sees and wouldn't sees and Sadducees, which is actually Sadducee, but nonetheless they're there, and they just made his, they just were, so the man picks up his, the reason they had a problem with it is because it was a Sabbath, and they thought that on the Sabbath that people shouldn't be doing any work, including Jesus, including the man who had been healed. Like, well, Jesus says, you know, carry your mat, carry your mat. And then, but then the Jews are like, nope, the law forbids you to carry your mat. Folks, my dad was in Jerusalem basically about 20 years ago, and in the hotels on the Sabbath, they were in a hotel. Guess what? The elevator stopped on every single floor of that hotel, whether someone got on the elevator or not. And I thought that was funny. Oh, because at my apartment, sometimes we have an elevator that will sometimes stop on the fourth floor, whether no one gets on or not. But there in Israel, because of all the Jews there, they think you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And apparently to them, that includes an elevator door. That includes opening an elevator door. Really? Well, to get ready to get on the elevator, you had to get dressed. You had to put on your shoes. You had to get on your, you know, whatever. You start your car. You know, if you don't live in an apartment complex, and then all this other stuff. So it's just this wild thing. But then later on in chapter 5, Jesus starts going after his disciples about certain people who are struggling to believe. And they're like, well, if I come, you'll believe. If not, you won't. Let me rephrase that. If someone else comes in my name, you believe them, but you're not believing me. And he's like, and the way we might say that is, what kind of craziness is this? You won't believe in me, but you'll believe in someone else who comes in my name. It's called deception. Deception. That was the problem with a lot of those people, like near the end of chapter 5. There was a lot of deception going on with some of those people. We have to watch out that we're not deceived. Because deception, you see, is real dangerous. Don't get into that pitfall. Because deception can make you think, oh, that's of God. Oh, yeah, this is of God. When really, it's not. Or you could be like, oh, that's not of God. When it is. So we have to be so careful who we listen to that we don't get deceived. because I don't know about you, but I don't want deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I want the real deal. I want the real truth. I don't want some user-friendly pastor teaching me. Nope. But, so, and then he ends up telling them at the end of the chapter, he says, since you didn't believe what Moses wrote, how are you going to believe what I am telling you? Because Jesus is making it clear, I'm speaking through my Father, through the Father God. I'm speaking through him. He's saying, I am speaking through him, my Father. And you're not believing. And he's having to explain it to these people who are being stubborn by choosing not to believe. They're like, what do I have to believe? If that's what they're thinking. But then some of them might have been just stubborn. Others of them might have just been, like I said earlier, deceived. Let some deception get in them. And you see, deception is dangerous. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to get deceived. Jesus said in the last days, false prophets would come and would deceive many people. But you see, this was Jesus walking on the earth. And some people just didn't believe. Didn't believe. And you know something else? Once the doubt and unbelief leaves, miracles can happen. Huh. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only, that we would believe your word, that since we've read it, may we believe it. I pray that any of these listeners who are being deceived would stop feeling deceived and would instead believe the word and realize it's true, that this word was inspired by God, was in fact inspired by God, and that these people would believe once and for all, that they would believe your God. They would believe in your healing power, believe in your presence, believe, and that they would go from believing to endorsing and wanting it in your mighty name, Jesus. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, real quick, sports. Now, we are leading up to March Madness in the world of college basketball. And you say, how is that? For so many teams, it is tournament week. So Michigan and Michigan State are beginning the Big Ten tournament. Michigan State number 7, Michigan number 8. So both kind of in the middle of the pack, kind of sort of near the middle, kind of towards the back. Just kind of the season it turned out to be. It's kind of that kind of year. Sometimes we don't know why it goes the way it does, but just did. Now, baseball, still locked out. Hopefully, they can get a deal reached very soon. And then for the Midland High hockey team, they have made the semifinals. They have to play on Friday in Plymouth. I forget where they play, but hopefully they can win that game and advance to the finals. And then hopefully on Monday I can talk to you about a state champion, Midland Comics. That's my hope. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our dwelling. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, suicide, fire, flood, crash. None of this stuff comes near us, me and loved ones, because you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. In Jesus' matchless name, I sure love you. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.